if we want to overcome the darkness in our lives, the darkness that creeps in, the things that we struggle with, the things that are hard for us, we have to be willing to do something, to change something, to try something different.
And I'm convinced that the human spirit was not designed to simply maintain normal. Somewhere along the line, we forget that our job wasn't to maintain normal. Our job was to step into an unprecedented future where God continually presses us into what's next.
God will never ask you to respond to a call that doesn't already speak to the best part of you, the part of you that was designed for greatness, that deep down knows that there is something more.
Hey, and welcome to the Humanity Church Podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's talk and want to invite you to join us live at 10 a.m. at the Glasshouse Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Pomona. Or you can join the conversation at www.humanitychurch.com. You can also download the Humanity Church app on iTunes or Android and keep up with the conversation and community there. If you would like to financially support this podcast and the ongoing work at Humanity, you can text the one word Humanity Church to 77977 or check out the giving option on the app. Enjoy this week's talk. Father, thank you that you are miraculous, that you show up and you do the unexpected when we connect to you. Would you continue to expand our vision, expand what we see as possible, to really blow up our version of reality so that we would never be stuck in our current reality, but that we would constantly be transformed into the women and men that you have called us to be and that you dream for us to be. As we step into this new, fresh conversation today, Father, would you move and speak in power and in ways that transform us at a heart level? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today, we're going to start a conversation that we're calling Fresh Start, kind of appropriate as we step into January. And what we want to do is take a look at the heart and soul of who we are as Humanity Church, things like our core values, our mission statement, our covenant as a community, what it looks like to be in groups with one another. And so over the next few weeks, you're going to get a really in-depth look at who we are and why we do what we do. Now, this may sound really boring, right? Because today, we're going to go over our core values. And oftentimes, when you think about your core values lecture at work, it's not exactly the most exciting moment, right? In fact, most core values are like posters on a wall that you have there and you're supposed to know somehow in your business or at school or whatever it may be. But for the most part, core values are something that just kind of swing by us. And here's the thing. Core values either usually aren't true or they just aren't meaningful, usually one or the other. I remember in high school, there was this WASC accreditation of our school at the time, and we all had to memorize these expected school-wide learning results so that when the accreditors came, they could ask any student to rattle them off and we could say them to them. And so it was things like, I am a lifelong learner. I enjoy connecting to community, all this stuff, right? Now, they didn't ask us if it showed up in our lives. They didn't actually care if we integrated it. They just wanted to make sure that we could repeat it back somehow, right? And so those are examples of core values that aren't necessarily meaningful, but they are true in some way, shape, or form. And then there's other core values that, well, just simply aren't true. For example, I looked up a series of organizations' core values, and the one that always stands out for me is the fast food chain Wendy's. Right? Because when you think about Wendy's, you think about burgers and fries, right? But if you want to know what their core value, their mission statement is, it's the mission of Wendy's is to deliver superior products and services to our customers and communities through leadership, innovation, and partnership. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I think of Wendy's, I don't think of leadership, innovation, partnership, right? I think of Frosties and French fries. And so that's an example of where core values just simply aren't true. They just don't connect to what's actually taking place. And every single one of us, whether you know it or not, we live by a set of core values every single day. Some of you are aware of them, some of you aren't aware of them. And if you want to know what your core values are, you can simply look at how you live your life. See, because for some of us, we declare core values and they simply aren't true. Like, I'm going to get healthy this year, right? How many of you ever said that before and then 3 weeks into your core value, you're suddenly eating at Wendy's, right?
And so those are core values that we declare but aren't true. If you actually want to know what your core values are, Jesus says to simply look at where you spend your money, your time, your energy. He says, wherever your treasure is, there where your heart, that's where your heart will be. So if you ever want to know what your life core values are, just simply take a look at how you're engaging your time, your resources, your energy, your money, and that will inform you of what moves, guides, motivates your life here and now. So the question that we're going to be looking at today is what moves and guides and motivates our lives and the lives of our community here as a corporate entity. Now, our mission statement, which is what I want to start out with, comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. So if you have a copy of the scriptures, you could turn with me there. If you have an app, you can pull that out. If you need a Bible and you don't have one, just raise your hand. One of our connection team members would love to give you a Bible because we love sending you home with the word of God. So you can have it. It's yours. But we're going to jump into 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. And this is where our mission comes from as the community of Humanity Church. It says, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. See, our mission here at Humanity Church is to live by faith, to be known by love, and to be a voice of hope. And this guides and informs and moves everything that we do here at Humanity Church. It's what moves us and guides us and informs us in everything. See, living by faith and moves involves moving beyond yourself and actually stepping into a life that involves risking for the sake of other people. Being known by love actually requires inherently someone else. You can't just simply love yourself, right? You have to actually have another being to express love towards, to be known by love. If you're only known by self-love, that's called narcissism, and that's not what we're up to. But the other thing is that to be a voice of hope actually requires you speaking into someone's life, that your life becomes a beacon of hope for the people around you. And this is what we're up to here as a community, to both live by faith, to be known by love, and to be a voice of hope. And then we have these five core values here, and we call them our soul environments, because not only are they our core values, not only do they guide and move and motivate everything that we do here at Humanity Church, but we also believe that when you find yourself in these environments, you will get healthy. Every entity on the planet has an environment in which they thrive. Last Saturday, Marla and I had like our first free Saturday in almost 6 months. And so we decided that we were gonna go to the LA Zoo. And we got to the LA Zoo, and there at the front of the zoo, there was a big sign that said, some of the animals may not be out today because of the sunny weather. Now it was freezing cold outside, but that sign's posted year round. Because here's the thing, they have actually transported animals out of their natural environment and placed them into Los Angeles, right? And so those poor penguins from Antarctica, right, that are now living in the temperature of Los Angeles, it's not exactly their most ideal environment to thrive in. And other animals like giraffes or elephants or lions that are more used to warmer desert-type climates, they thrive in a Los Angeles-type environment. See, just like every single animal, plant, being has an environment that they thrive in, our souls have environments that they thrive in, and there are environments in which they die. And so it's our job to find those environments where we thrive in. And we believe that our core values, these soul environments, when we engage them fully, that you will find your soul come to life. That you will find yourself thriving and moving and engaging the world in a way that you were actually designed to engage. And so we believe that when you find the right environments for you, you will find life. And so we're going to go through these five core values, but when you hear them, we're going to talk about them as a church, but we're going to also look at them as what does it look like for us as individuals to engage these core values in our lives individually. Now, if you've heard our core values before, you know that we have these five natural metaphors that we use for them. When we first introduced these, people thought that we suddenly were like worshiping earth, wind, water, fire, but we aren't. They're just natural pictures that allow us to remember these core values. And so our core values are represented by these natural metaphors of earth, wind, water, fire, wood, and they help us to get a full grasp on what these core values are and how to integrate them most effectively into our lives. And every single one of them also has a core word that we use. And so we're going to go through these together. We're going to talk about the natural metaphor and the core word and what it looks like to live them out as a community. So let's jump in. Our first core value is characterized by this natural metaphor of wind. And the core value is this: mission is why the church exists. Let's say that together. Mission is why the church exists. And the key word for this is commission. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And this is the birthplace of the church. If you want to know what the purpose of the church is, you might as well look at where it started. And the church was born in this passage in Acts chapter 2, and it says this. In verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they ask, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language, and amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Love that last part there. But it's so fascinating to look at the birth of the church because it informs us so much of what our purpose is. See, because when the Spirit of God comes and fills this group of individuals that are waiting for God to move in their lives, the first thing that they do is get together and have this really in-depth Bible study in Greek and Hebrew. No, not really. They get together and they have this really powerful worship and prayer night. No, they didn't come together and figure out who was in the club and who was out of the club. They didn't come and say, hey, we need to get a building with lights and really deep, meaningful music. They didn't think about any of that. In fact, their natural response was to simply go and move out from that place. So if you want to know what the purpose of us, it's to go and actually move out into our communities. See, if this core value could be summed into one thing, it's this, that it's all about people. It's all about humanity. In fact, when we first announced our name was moving towards humanity, our community loved it, but Christians outside of our movement were a little leery because they thought that we were starting to worship something other than God. See, it's always fascinating to me because if we were to call ourselves Bible Church, people would say, oh yeah, God loves the Bible. And so that would make sense. If we were to call ourselves the Prayer Church, people would be like, yeah, right on, God loves prayer. That's awesome. If we were to call ourselves Holy Spirit Church, they would say, yeah, because that is God, so that makes sense. But if we called ourselves Humanity Church, I don't know. That sounds a little cult-like. As if the greatest picture of us loving God is that we are for humanity wouldn't be the case. And see, when we connect two people, it shows that the mission of God is actually moving forward. So even if you're here this morning and you're an atheist, what I do know about you is that you have questions about what's next and where you're headed and the destiny of your life and where you're moving. And I know that inside every single one of us, there is this longing for something bigger. See, it's not about imposing God onto people, but recognizing that people are actually searching for God. See, the problem is that when we use the word church, all kinds of images come up for people. All kinds of images of judgment and hate and condemnation, of irrelevance, boring, confusion. And so when we say the word church, it brings up so many different references. See, the problem is that in so many places that the church has become so inward focused, that it's become so focused on us and meeting our needs and what we need rather than actually going out and connecting to the people around us. But Jesus, when he connects to our lives and when he fills a community, he will always move us outward. It's people that we really respect and value, and we're always looking towards how can we funnel everything towards helping people find life here and now, because people are the ones that last. See, the church was never meant to meet our needs. We are the church, and we exist to meet the needs of the world around us. And crazily enough, that when we find ourselves on mission, when we find ourselves going out and giving ourselves to people around us, bringing life to everyone that we come in contact with, crazy enough that we actually find what we need in the process. And this can only be done, from my experience, in smaller groups. And we see this all over the scriptures, that the church was even born in this small group of people huddled in this upper room. And so we, as a community, we are a church of small churches that meet all over the city that are committed to reaching our neighbors, our friends, our families, our coworkers. And, you know, the thing is that we oftentimes like to see God as a rock, as our foundation, as a shelter, those very powerful images. But the interesting thing is that the word often used to describe God is spirit. And that word is pneuma in the scriptures. It's also the same word for wind and breath. And so we believe that when God moves, he breathes in us and through us, and that we should be moving. And just like you can't see the wind, but you can see its effects, we should be able to see God as we go out and we impact our community around us. And so this is our very first core value. Wind, mission is why the church exists. Our second core value is connected to that, and it's characterized by water. And it is this: love is the context for all mission. That if mission is why the church exists, then love is the context for that mission. Now, love is powerful. It can start wars. Historically, great artwork has been created through it. It has caused feuds, and it has caused people to come together. And isn't it interesting that you can almost do the wrong thing motivated by love, and it still comes across as love? Marla and I, it was my birthday on Tuesday, and so we went to go see Wicked in Los Angeles, the musical, and we went to dinner after, right before, and we went into this restaurant, and the woman at the counter says, "I know you." And I thought, oh no, here we go again. But she said, "You've been in here like lots of times, haven't you?" And I've been in there once before. So I said, I've been in here once. And she goes, I know your name. And she goes, "Oh, don't tell me. It's James." And I said, "No, my name's Nathan." And she goes, "Oh, I got you mixed up with someone else." But you know, in that moment, I felt so special because I thought, here's this person trying to bestow love on me and trying to remember my name. And it came out all wrong, but I felt so loved in that moment. Likewise, you can do the right thing motivated by the wrong thing, and it comes out all wrong. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've come home and cleaned the house out of spite. And then expected that my wife and my kids would honor that in some way, shape, or form. It's the right thing out of the wrong motive, and it just comes across all the way wrong. See, you lose the context and you lose the mission. And love is why we move forward. And all throughout the scriptures, God is known by a lot of things, but one of the things that he is known by, the characteristic that he is called from often, in fact, it's found in 1 John, is that God is love. And that love that he is called agape. It's this very unique love. It's this love that has no beginning and no end. It's not caused by something, and it will never stop by something. It's just eternal, flowing out to you, moving in you and through you. And here's the thing. Love is not God, but God is love. Sometimes we get those a little mixed up. And our own love is insufficient to actually transform the world around us. Our love falls short. Our love has beginnings and ends and limits to it. But when we are fueled by the love of God, that mission becomes unstoppable. And when we choose to love people with that agape love filling us, people see God. And likewise, when people love us with that agape, unending love, we experience God. In our community groups, there are times in every single one of our groups where we pause and we hear from the voice of God. And I remember sitting down with someone recently who had some issues with our community groups and the way we did them. And they said, "You know, I just don't understand why God wouldn't speak just directly to me. I don't understand why I would need someone else for God to speak to and then give me that message back. Why wouldn't he just speak to me?" See, here's the thing, is that God only works through people. It's actually his primary way that he longs to work through. Yes, he'll speak through circumstances, and he'll work things in your lives that seem miraculous, but his mechanism that he gets his love out to you is through other people. And so if you want to experience the love of God, you actually have to be around people who are filled with the love of God and who are actively moving and shaping that forward. And it's interesting that in 1 John it says, "Perfect love casts out all fear." See, we oftentimes think that the opposite of love is hate. Love and hate, they seem like on the opposite side of the spectrum. But what we see here is that the actual opposite of love is fear. And that everything that comes with fear are symptoms like hate and judgment and disconnection. See, love requires us to move past ourselves and to see others. And our commitment here at Humanity Church is to see you and to help you see others in the most powerful, unique way. And God's love allows us to see everything and stay in relationship. Have you ever seen something in someone and you're instantly like, yeah, we're done, right? See, the crazy thing is that we start loving each other, we'll actually start seeing the worst of us. And the crazy thing is that the agape, unending love of God allows us to see that and say, I choose you anyways. I choose to stay in it, which is why I love our community, because we have people of all different backgrounds. I know it's kind of crazy, but we have Democrats and Republicans sitting in the room together, right? We have people that would use all kinds of characteristics to describe our president sitting in this room here with one another, right? And this is what I love, is that agape allows us to see and to still choose to love one another and be in relationship. And this image of water is so powerful because the scriptures give us this metaphor of baptism, a physical representation that when we come to Jesus, we are baptized into water and then we come out alive in him, but we're baptized into community. We're baptized into a space with others where there is one spirit, one baptism, one community where we become one in his love. And that's our second core value. Love is the context for all mission. Our third core value is this. It's characterized by wood, and its structure must always submit to spirit. And in John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, this is what Jesus says to us, starting in verse 5. This is what it says this to us about how we're to relate to one another. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done with you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, this is a place where Jesus does not mince words, right? In fact, he uses analogies like, I will cut you off and throw things in the fire. By the way, he's not going to throw you in the fire. He's going to trim things off of your life and throw them in the fire. So if you had a little moment of panic, don't worry. But Jesus is pretty clear here. He says that when you connect to me, you will grow. That's actually the sign that you are connected to Jesus. 3 years ago, I decided that we were going to plant grapes in our backyard, and I planted grapes in our backyard, and then I found out that it takes about 4 years to get the grapes actually growing. And so we've been watering and taking care of these grapes, and finally this year we actually got grapes, which was awesome. Of course, they burned in the 118 degree heat. Not bitter about that. But then it overtook everything. If you've ever seen a grapevine, it just goes nuts, and it overtook everything. And so it had overtaken our backyard, and I went online to figure out how on earth do you prune this thing, and it basically says you cut everything back. You cut everything back until you have three little vines sticking out of a stick in the ground. And I thought, I have waited for 4 years to have this beautiful grapevine. There is no way that I'm going to do this. But as I kept watching and reading, it said that if you don't do this, you will not get grapes the next year. And so I reluctantly went out and began pruning away at our grapes, throwing away vine after vine after vine from this beautiful tree that we had, or this beautiful vine that we had planted, and realizing that as soon as I snipped off one of those vines, that they were going to instantly turn into twigs. That is the difference between a luscious vineyard and a twig, is that it's connected to the source. It's the difference between death and the best bottle of Merlot that you have ever had. Is that it stays connected to the source. And if you are connected to Jesus as your source, you will continue to grow and move and change and flourish. That is just a given. It's why, if you know me, I hate giving flowers out, because it's literally like taking a puppy, cutting its head off and say, here you go. It's in the process of dying, right? I mean, it's disconnected from the source and saying, here you go. Here's a living being that was once alive and now is in the process of slowly dying, right? Because it is disconnected from its source. And no matter what you do with that flower, it will end up dead. Because when you are disconnected from the source, you will find yourself eventually dead. See, I hate when people say phrases to my son like, oh my gosh, look how he's grown. What did you think was going to happen, right? See, because it would actually be strange if 8 years from now I introduced you to Jackson and he was just a little two-year-old, right? Look at my son. You would actually be like, oh my God, something is wrong. What is happening here, right? But strangely enough, when it comes to our own spirituality, we don't grow and then it doesn't shock us. We find ourselves at times where we go years and years and years without ever transforming or having something new take place, and it never shocks us. See, because the sign that you are connected to Jesus is change. And so as a community, here's the thing. Structures are needed. This core value that structure must always submit to spirit is not that we don't need structures. We have structures. We use them and we engage them. But change is the inevitable part of life. It is the only thing that lets you know that you are healthy. And if we're connected to Christ, then change will be constant. We also, Marla and I, when we first started dating, we went to the LA County Fair and we bought a plumeria tree. And we planted that thing, and that's another thing that they don't tell you, that it takes 3 years to grow actual plumerias on the tree. And so we've been growing that thing and planting it, and just last year, we got these beautiful plumeria flowers in our backyard, and at summer, it just fills up the entire backyard. And let me tell you, that fruit, that flower that comes off of that branch there, it is unbelievable, the beauty and the fragrance that it puts out. And when you are connected to Jesus, that scripture says that your life will produce fruit, that your life will become fragrant and beautiful, and that is designed to be of service to the world around you. See, mission is why we exist, but you are actually designed to serve the world. And as you connect to Jesus, he will move you towards a space where you will change and grow, and from your life will become fragrant service to the world around you. See, unfortunately, the church has been known as a place that is more about preserving the past than stepping into the future that he has for us. It's been more about preserving what we has been. And here's the thing, humanity will always look different. It will always look different because we have new people coming in, connecting to us, new gifts, new talents, new abilities that step into our structures, and we change as a result of that as the Spirit moves us in this place. Because God is new, we are new. It's why we have this kind of guideline for our community, for our worship community here, that once a song hits 5 years old, we cut it. Because here's the thing, I never want us to be stuck in what God was doing 5 years ago, of what God was longing for us to sing 5 years ago. I always want us to be looking to, what is God wanting us to sing now? What is the song that he's providing for us now in the moment that's pressing us into the future? Because it's too easy to get stuck in what has been and to rely on yesterday's growth rather than stepping into the future that we have for us. And by this way, this mission is not just for a select few. I know that in some communities that you may have been a part of, it is. But here at Humanity, we believe that God calls and gifts everyone to this movement. In fact, people come in all the time and they say, like, who's in charge here? And I just say, us, right? Now we have leadership, certainly. I lead our community along with a group of people that lead with me. But here's the thing, is that we come together and we create a space for others to move forward. In fact, we use this model that found in the scripture, these gifts that Jesus gives us of pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, and evangelists. And we believe that every single one of us are gifted to serve the church with one of those. I'll never forget one day when I actually stepped down from being our lead pastor, because I'm actually a horrible pastor. I'm a much better apostle, moving us into the future and stepping us into that place. And I remember one time this elderly woman came forward and she said, I'm kind of concerned. I don't know who's going to be our pastor now. And I said, well, we're going to have a lot of pastors here. And she actually went and took our assessment on the fivefold, and she came back the next Sunday all excited, and she said, Nathan, you'll never believe it. And I said, what? And she said, I'm a pastor. Yeah. I said, that's awesome. So you need to start pastoring our community. You need to start going and caring for people around you as if it was up to you to change the world. And they went on to care for so many people in our community. See, because we believe that when you connect to us, everything changes. In fact, that's why we use the metaphor of wood, because wood is such a versatile element. It can be used to make ships or a toothpick, right? And just like that vine, when they start growing, it goes everywhere and it grows wild. And our community should always look more like a chaotic, wild wood than the most organized community on the planet, which is a cemetery, because everyone is right in their place. All right, you with me? We're going to go a little long today. Is that all right? All right, we're going to have two more to go. Our last one is this, fire. It's characterized by fire. And here's the core value. Relevance to culture is not optional. And in Hebrews 12, 25, it actually says that our God is a consuming fire. What I love about fire is that it is warm. It brings warmth to us when we find ourselves freezing. You would probably like some fire right now. that it transforms us, that when fire connects to something, it completely transforms anything that it touches. But it also illuminates. It brings light into the darkness. And that's what happens when our lives connect to Jesus. In fact, God often shows up in the form of fire all throughout the scriptures. In fact, when you look, you see Jesus showing up to Moses as a burning bush. You see him leading the Israelites through the wilderness by this pillar of fire, of light. You see him with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego showing up in this fiery furnace. And then in the scriptures, he refers to himself as fire constantly. See, when you encounter fire, you are forever, forever changed. Now, here's the thing. Every one of us has the opportunity to commune with God. That's what we just celebrated at Christmas, that God came for everyone here in this moment. But here's the thing. When Jesus came, he didn't come as like a ball of bright light. He didn't come as some weird like sci-fi creature that would be only known as something other than human. He didn't come as like the purple kid running through the streets. He came as human. And contrary to popular pictures and media, he was not white with blonde hair. He was Israeli, and so he looked Middle Eastern, and he had probably green eyes and olive skin and black hair, and here's the thing, guess what? He ate just like the people ate. He stunk just like the people stunk. He spoke the language, and he walked among them, and he felt everything that he felt because he came down and translated himself into humanity. And this is what I love about God, is that when he comes in the most relevant, tangible form that we could ever imagine. And we're baptized with fire. When you and I are baptized with fire with his spirit, he fills us with his spirit. And then we go out and we become the most tangible representation of God to every single person that we meet. See, if God is not introduced to the people around you, you may want to ask yourself, where is the fire inside of me? Where is the fire that's moving inside of me that when people come in contact with me, they go, I am in contact with God when I am connected to you. Now, we aren't God, but we are filled with his spirit. And then we connect to other people. People experience us all around them. Now, this core value really has two parts. One is communing with God and being in relationship with him. And I feel like the church has really got that right for the most part. But the next thing is taking that communion with God and moving outward into our community so that they experience him in a way that makes sense. See, people always ask, why do you do church in the glass house? Are you trying to be the cool church? No, we're actually not that cool. But here's the thing, is that I love that we meet in a place that people meet in. In fact, people are here all throughout the week having music and concerts and engaging in meaningful artistic and cultural experiences. And so it would make sense that we would meet in a place like this. In fact, I can't tell you how many people that I've said, we meet at the Glass House, and they're like, oh, that's cool. I saw a show there when I was 16. I'll be there. It's a little less threatening than showing up to a church building. See, because we have connected to Jesus, it makes sense that we would do what we do. Because here's the thing. This message is too important to be lost in translation. And so we will remove every non-essential barrier between God and people as a community as we connect to God. I can't tell you how many people have walked into this space skeptical of who God is, even angry with who God is, and they have walked away in a moment connecting to God, having their lives forever changed because they encountered a living God that made sense to them here in this place. And so our core value of fire, relevance to culture is not optional, permeates everything that we do. It connects to the language that we use, how we do what we do, how we engage people. In fact, if you're here and you have not yet connected to the Spirit of God, you are probably the most valuable person in this room because we do everything here to connect to you and your heart so that you might actually experience the power of God. Our last core value is this. Earth, creativity is the natural result of spirituality. Now, when we introduced this core value, it was people instantly thought we were heretical, which happens a lot around here. but people instantly said, you can't put that on people. People aren't all inherently creative. In fact, if you put pressure on people to be creative, you're going to find yourself in a losing battle. In fact, a very prominent church leader told us, hey, you know what? People at their heart are just worker bees, and they just need a task to be given, and you do not call them into a space where they must be creative in any way, shape, or form. See, here's the funny thing, is we want God to move mountains, but we don't actually want to be the ones that God uses to move mountains. We don't want to be the creative one. We're like, hey, God, you do it. And God's like, you do it, right? I filled you. You're the one that actually gets to go and move the mountains. It actually says your faith will move mountains. So when you put your faith in me, you're the ones that actually get to be creative in this space. And here's the thing. When we move towards God, our lives expand. Yep. Our lives open up. All the possibilities that weren't there before suddenly become incredibly possible. All of our strengths, our looks, our economics, our politics, we cannot control. There's so many things in life that we can't control, right? There's so many things that we have no control over. But here's the thing that you do have absolute control over: your character, who you are at your core, your essence. And when you take control of your character and you allow God to expand that, then everything becomes possible and your life becomes profoundly creative. If I could sum up this characteristic, is that it's all about your character. And that as you work on your character, it will open up possibilities for you. The word character is interesting because it actually means a distinguishing mark. And what I know about you is that you were designed to make a distinguishing mark on the world around you. See, that's also why we call the alphabets, the letters in our alphabet, characters. The character A, B, C, and we put those characters together in different combination, we get WORDS, right? And so our character was designed to make a distinguishing mark on the world around us. And here's the thing, Jesus didn't come and make you a cookie cutter. Yeah. And for the problem is that so much of Christianity has been about helping people fit a mold that they were never designed to fill. That everyone needs to look the same and be the same and listen the same and whatnot. And what I find about Jesus is that he says, look, you're gonna follow me, the same God. But as you follow me, I will express your uniqueness in such a powerful way that you will make your mark on the world that is so distinct. And as you connect to Christ, your character starts to transform. And in that, everything else changes. In fact, he says in Romans, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world anymore. Because he knows that without the Spirit of God, you're just gonna constantly be conforming to patterns, being really predictable. Isn't it crazy that unforgiveness always leads to the same place? Isn't it? It's interesting that anger always moves us to the same destination. It's interesting that apathy will always move us to a less productive life, but you start loving one another and oh my gosh, the possibilities are endless. You start being generous with your life and everything changes. You start seeing all the new possibilities and creativity will flow from your life. Now, I've had the opportunity to travel to all corners of the globe many times, and it's amazing to see the different landscapes all over the world. That's one of the things I love, is seeing different plants and mountains and lakes and rivers and oceans and how they look different in each part of the world. The crazy thing, it's the same earth that it all comes from. But out of different earth comes different plants, different landscapes, different realities all around us. And Jesus uses this example of soil. He says that our souls are like soil. And that when your soil is healthy, all kinds of things will grow from it. But when your soil is rocky or thorny or hard, you're gonna have a really hard time experiencing anything but death. And so when you work on your character, all things are possible. Now notice, this core value does not say that artistry is the natural result of spirituality. People all the time confuse art and creativity. They are not the same. Because I know a lot of artists who are not creative. I know a lot of artists who just write the same song over and over, or they just sound like everyone else. I know a lot of artists who just are copies of everyone else. But the flip side of this is I know a lot of creatives who are not artists and who are so profoundly creative. In fact, what I found in my time working here in Los Angeles in this region is that some of the most creative people that I found are actually not artists, they're teachers. They're doctors, they're counselors, they're moms and dads. And I found that when people connect to Jesus, they find a way to make their mark on the world in such a profoundly unique way that they don't actually need artistry because they are so creative. and that their life expands because of that. And some of the most creative people are sitting in the seats next to you that you may not even know because God is actively moving and shaping their hearts. See, your creativity has to do with you making your mark. See, a lot of crazy things can be said about the church. Look, I get it. In fact, never before in the history of pastoring have I ever had more people struggling with whether or not they should connect to the church or leave the church because of the political climate that we find ourselves in. And look, I get it. There's so much hypocrisy. I get it. There's so much judgment. I get it. There's so much craziness out there. And here's your choice. You can either choose to leave the movement and be disconnected from what God is doing, or you can choose to engage and be a healthy part of transforming the world around you. You can actually be a solution that God is looking for to make the world a better place. See, you can either be crazy enough to step into this movement known as the church, to step into the fullness of the life that God has called you into, or you can choose a lesser life, but it is choosing a lesser life, I guarantee you. And that when you choose to engage these core values in your own life, everything will change. This is what I know about 2019. It's gonna be our best year yet. As we step into these core values as a community and as individuals, I know that we are going to see something expand from this that will be breathtaking and unexplainable, because I know that these environments will move us towards health. Now, here's the thing, before we go, last thing, is that we don't wanna leave you without any resources. And so one of the exciting things that we are announcing today is that we have already developed some online courses that you can take that will actually move you through these core values. Now, when I say courses, they're more like devotionals, all right? And so we have connected to a platform called Trained Up, and we have been working over the last probably 4 months developing a 4-week devotional curriculum for you to go through that will move you as an individual through these core values, all right? And we would like for all of us as a community to start this week. There are daily 10 to 15 minute growth guides that you can watch. There's a video of me every single day, so I'll be with you in the morning with your coffee, all right? And it will walk you through these core values to start integrating them into your life. So we're gonna send you an email out tomorrow with the information, but if you are like eager beaver and you wanna know right now, you can go to humanitychurch.com/grow, or it's already on your app. All right, so you can go to the Humanity Church app and click on Growth Guides, and you'll see a course called Redeeming Humanity. That course is the course that you're gonna wanna go through. You're gonna wanna start that. It gives you devotionals for the next month that will walk you through wind, water, wood, fire, earth, and allow you to start integrating these into your life. Because we as a community this year are committed to helping you grow on your spiritual journey in a way that you have never experienced before, all right? So we're gonna be going through these in our community groups. We're gonna be engaging them with one another. So start on Monday. Start on Monday, all right? Open up the app. You can go to humanitychurch.com/grow and get into Redeeming Humanity, because it will change everything about us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to step into these environments that you've created for us, God. May they move us and guide us as a church, but may they expand who we are as individuals. We thank you that you've called us to be on mission with you. We thank you that love is our guiding force on that mission. We thank you that we will constantly be changing and shifting as we connect to you. We thank you, God, that as we commune with your spirit, that the people around us will be transformed, because relevance to culture is not optional, Father. And we thank you that as our character grows, that our creativity will be the natural result of our spirituality. God, we are so grateful to be a part of this together. And we thank you that 2019 is gonna be our best year yet as individuals and a church. We're so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. Join us next week for a new conversation, or download the Humanity Church app to continue interacting with the community at Humanity. Thanks, and have a great week.